All right. Anybody know what movie that song was from? Yes? Home Alone. That's right. First service, no idea. Kevin McAllister, he's on the bridge, right? He's got his head hanging out the window, super excited. The song's called All Alone on Christmas. This is the best Christmas movie ever. If you haven't seen this, you have something to do tomorrow. So in my house, we love Christmas movies. And we played a little game during the 5 p.m. service, and I thought we'd play it tonight here too, even though it's after 10 p.m. So what I'm going to do is we're going to play a song from a Christmas movie, and you get to finish the line just to make sure everybody's still awake, okay? Ready? So here we go. Let's play the first one, Tori.
Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know.
They know. They know.
Very good, very good. Yeah, so that's not from a Christmas movie, but now everybody's happy, so it worked. All right, okay, here's another one. This is a Christmas one, I promise. Go ahead.
You're a mean one.
Mr. Grinch.
Very good. Very good. All right, so we're pretty good on our Christmas movies. Okay, one more.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Had a very shiny nose.
Good. We could just keep going if you want. So like I said, I love Christmas movies in our house. We love to watch Christmas movies. But I'll tell you one thing. The issue I have with Christmas movies, when it comes to the Christmas story, anything that has to do with Jesus or the church really, is that if there's ever a church scene, there's no joy. Things just get super, super serious. I mean, even in Home Alone, if you've seen Home Alone, right? We talked about this already. It's an important movie to watch. It's one of the funniest movies ever. And then there's this one short scene where Kevin makes it into a church and he's sitting next to this really old guy talking about his family problems, you know? And it's like all of a sudden things get super, super serious, totally depressing. And it's like the celebration just stops. And even, you know, when I was younger, I kind of carried that mentality into the way that I understood Christmas. We had Christmas Eve at my house. It was great. We're exchanging gifts. We're eating all these cookies. It's tons of fun. It's awesome. We're celebrating. And then it's like, stop the celebration. It's time to go to church. You know, at least that's the way that I saw it, right? And I kind of felt like, as a kid, I kind of felt like, well, I'm going to get a lot of presents tomorrow. I kind of have to pay my dues, you know, and thank God for making Santa Claus. And the celebration just kind of stopped when it came to church. And what's interesting is that if you look at how the Christmas story is explained, the story of Jesus, the way that it's explained in the Bible, the celebration doesn't stop. It just really begins. You see, the people that were waiting for Jesus, they didn't know what he was going to look like. They didn't know how he was going to come, but they were hoping, they were dreaming, they were praying, they were wishing, they were longing for this Messiah, this Savior, this individual to come and save them. And so when they found out that he was coming, they were super, super excited. In fact, the Bible sets it up, the New Testament writers set it up almost like it's this grand reveal. You know, anybody watch Fixer Upper? You know, Chip and Joanna Gaines, right? They go through this whole big mess, the episode, you know, they get this nasty house, and then at the end, the house is all done, and there they are, you know, behind the big wall, and Joanna's like, are you ready to see your new house, right? And they're going to pull back the wall, and there's this huge reveal, and the people that are there, and they see their house, they're freaking out, they're hugging each other, kissing each other, you know, they're crying, they're drooling, somebody's passing out, it's just a pure excitement. It's this incredible reveal. It's this incredible reveal. And that's how it's really depicted in the Bible, according to the New Testament writers. And so what I want to do real quick in just a couple minutes is just look at why. Why are they so excited? What's so great about this good news? And maybe if we do that, just really kind of wrestle with it for just a few minutes, maybe we'll be able to recapture that sense of excitement, that sense of joy that the original audience had, those original people in that Christmas story when they heard about Jesus coming. So my favorite part in the Christmas story is with the shepherds. I love the shepherds. I think the scene is so cool. So that's what we're going to take a quick look at tonight. And here's how it starts off. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I've got the verse up here on the screen. And here's what Luke writes. He says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." They're working the night shift. They're living out there, but they're also at work. Now, these shepherds, I don't know what your nativity scene looks like at home, but you probably have, if you have a nativity scene, you might have a little shepherd, this little cute little boy, I'm holding a baby lamb, right? And he's got these curly little locks, and he's just like, you know, cute as a button, right? And maybe that was the case, but Probably these shepherds were way more manly, rough, and tough than we often depict them. They had to protect their animals or the animals of people that were much wealthier than them from lions and not tigers, but bears. There we go. Somebody had to protect these animals. They were also seen at times as not necessarily outcast, but it was kind of frowned upon if you were a shepherd because you couldn't participate in all the religious activities. These weren't the churchgoers. And they're out in their fields, right? So these big, burly, you know, probably younger, but tough men. Don't think Robin, think Batman, you know? And they're out there in the fields. And what happens? Well, they're approached by an angel of the Lord, an angel, a messenger of the Lord appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, we don't know exactly what that would have looked like. They could have been shining, right? But at the very least, it makes it clear that these shepherds knew for sure that these messengers represented God, and they were terrified. People who on a somewhat regular basis had to fight wolves and these terrible animals, they're terrified of these angels that show up. And so, the angels approach them, understanding that they're afraid, and they say, "Do not be afraid," which is, of course, exactly what you want to hear when you're afraid. Hey, don't be afraid, you know, right? The angels say, "I bring you good news. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people." This news is so good that when people understand it, when they grasp it, what these angels, these divine messengers are saying is that it will bring feelings of joy, joy along with it. And so, if you don't get anything else out of this little message reflection here tonight, what I want you to know and what this seems to imply is that if the story of Jesus, the gospel, right, the good news, if it does not bring you joy, then maybe you don't understand the implications that it has for your life. This is good news that will cause great joy. It's not the boring part of Christmas. It's not the part that we have to put up with. It's not a place you go to pay your dues. And if it feels like that, maybe we've got to look a little bit further into what this really means for our lives. And the shepherds, they were freaking out after this. They went out, they ran into the town, they started telling everybody because they were so excited. And the angel continues and tells them, okay, so you want to know what the good news is? He says, today in the town of David, he doesn't say, guess what? A new religion has started. He says, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, Savior, Messiah, and Lord, those are three words probably you really only hear in church. And so maybe they've lost a little bit of their impact, but this word Savior here, it means hero. They're saying, your hero has come. The person that you've been waiting for, hoping for, dreaming for, praying for, longing for, just wishing would show up and come, he's here. He's here. He's the answer to everything you've been looking for. Jesus would grow up, and if you know a little bit about what Jesus taught, he explained what this meant. He said, if you're hungry, well, then I am the bread to that hunger. If you're thirsty, I am the water to that thirst. If you're tired, if you're weary, I am the rest to your weary soul. If you feel like you're in darkness, I'm the light to that darkness. Jesus is saying, I am what you've been waiting for. I'm the Savior, the hero, the answer to the hope, the longing of every heart. The hero has come. And that's the good news. You know, these shepherds, before they'd heard this good news, to them, they lived by this ancient code, the law. And it was all about right and wrong. When you didn't do right, you had to make up for the wrong that you've done. And so this standard that they had to live up to seemed unreachable. And so God seemed like this distant entity, right? Like this star. Okay? Here comes a visual. And for them, they're constantly feeling like they've got to just measure up to what they think God wants from them. They've got to live up to what they feel like they're supposed to be. And I'm sure there are times where they feel like, okay, I did something right here. I'm on the right track, right? And they start, I'm not going to stand on it, so don't worry. My mom's here. She's probably getting a little nervous. But maybe that's how you feel about God. I mean, if we're honest, probably all of us are in that place at one point or another where we're like, okay, well, there he is. I know he's up there. I know he's, you know, being closer to him would probably be a good thing for me. And so I'm going to try and work my way up, right? But what happens? I mean, it's a standard that's impossible to live up to. And so we fall time and time and time again. We try and make it up, but we fall. We try and make it up, but we fall. And it becomes a frustrating process. And maybe for you, that's how you've understood the story of Jesus, and that's not good news. And so what happens is we just say, hey, you know what, forget about it. I've tried that. I've tried to get up there. Doesn't work. I can't reach it. I know what's going to happen if I try, and so we just forget about it. Just, I don't want to talk about it. And that's where you hear people say, I don't really want to talk about religion. It's not for me. Why? Because God is a distant entity that is really just a reminder of our inadequacy. If this is how we understand God, it's not good news. But the news that the angels brought, that was good news. The story of Jesus is good news. We'll see a little special effects here. You see, Matthew wrote in his gospel, he said, you've probably heard this, he said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Paul, the writer of so many of the letters in the New Testament, he wrote a letter to the church in Philippi, and he said, though he was God talking about Jesus, he didn't consider that something to be used to his advantage, but instead he took the form of a man. John, we read earlier, he says that he became God. God became flesh. He became a man, and he dwelt among us. You see, the good news is that we don't have to measure up. We don't have to live up to what we think God wants from us. The good news is that God came down. That's the story of Christmas. Knowing that we could never measure up, God came down to meet us in the midst of our failures, at our ugliest, at our worst, in the midst of our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our anger, our depression, our weak states, our strong states, when we're high, when we're low, in the daily grind of life, when life is great, when it's exhausting. God comes down to meet us because he wants to know us, because he loves us, and because he knows we will never measure up. That's grace. That's the story of the gospel. And that is good news. It's something that we can be excited about. Let's pray together. God, you didn't have to come down. You could have stayed where you are and enjoyed the comforts of heaven. But instead, you came down in the form of a man, Jesus. And you paid our price. You died on a cross so that we could know you, so that you could meet us in our failures and embrace us in the midst of them. Not after we get our act together, but in the midst of our mess, you come and you meet us. God, would you remind each one of us of that this morning, that tonight, whether we feel close to you or far away, would you remind us that you have your arms open, that you call us in, you welcome us in, you meet us right where we are as a father who loves his children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.